week, we had the story of Jesus being transformed on the top of a mountain, transfigured before his disciples' eyes at the end of his ministry. And today we're going back to what was the beginning of his ministry. So this is right after Jesus was baptized. We read it quite a few weeks ago. Right after he was baptized and he heard this voice, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." And then Jesus was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Not necessarily the thing that you'd expect. The moment that he is told he is loved and that God is proud of him. But here he is off in the desert, in the wilderness, to be tested. And he didn't pack extra water, and he didn't have a tent, and he didn't have a plan. We drop in on the end of those 40 days that he is fasting, as the devil approaches him with three different temptations that are working to rattle Jesus' trust in God. Devil's first temptation is to turn a bunch of stones into a bunch of loaves of bread. Seems pretty harmless, doesn't it? I mean, Jesus is about to go out and turn enough bread and fish to feed thousands of people, so what's a few extra loaves right now when he's at his hungriest? But it makes me wonder, maybe the temptation isn't about feeding Jesus' belly, just meeting that one need, but maybe it's about making sure he's got enough for the future too. Matthew writes, "Turn these stones into loaves of bread." More than just one to feed hunger. I haven't seen it myself, but my colleagues and my friends tell me that some of their shelves are empty of hand sanitizer, bottled water, and that shelf-stable canned beans. Reports on the radio are telling us to prepare, to make sure that we have water set aside, and we have the shelf-stable food packed and ready, and we're ready to be in our houses for 2 weeks when this epidemic spreads. But I wonder if this is how sin begins. The sense that if we hoard enough and protect enough of our own stuff, that we will save ourselves. So sin often starts with some exaggerated sense of not having enough, of scarcity, that there's not enough time or energy or attention or money or love, and so we're working really hard to make sure that we have enough. But what is enough? So we collect more, and we hoard more, and we try and hang on to what we have. But anything, no matter how good it is, can be a problem if it's too much. Jesus resists the devil's temptation. He quotes, "One does not live on bread alone, but on everything that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus isn't about to hoard a bunch of stuff to save him. He knows that having enough is not the goal of this life, but that he'll get hungry again, and he'll have need again. And that fear of not having enough is going to show up no matter how much water we've got stocked in our basement. The right way to be, to fight that fear, is to trust that God will provide, to trust that God is there in the midst of things with us. The tempter then takes another tactic. "You've got a message to get out, Jesus, right? I've got a way to get everybody's attention, to make them all listen up. So jump off the peak of this temple, because God has promised in his word that your foot won't even touch a rock on the bottom. The angels will catch you and you will be fine." It's a ploy for power, to get everybody's attention with something amazing and something overwhelming so that Jesus can now be an influencer and he'll be entertaining enough that everybody will follow wherever he goes and do whatever he says. I wonder how often we look for signs of who to follow, of which path to go, of what is the right thing. I wonder how often we judge ourselves based on what others say about us, on how big our circle of friends are or how we rank among our neighbors. We either want to blend in or we want to be admired. We want people to listen to what we have to say, to come and ask us for advice, to be the one that they lift up. And while most of us don't want the responsibility of running things, we sure would like others to know our names, Yet Jesus resists the devil's temptation. He quotes, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." He knows that his worth is in God's view. There's no need to prove it to himself or anyone else. In a last-ditch effort, the devil takes him to the high mountain to overlook all of the different kingdoms of the world, and he promises, like he has the power to do it, that he will hand over all of these kingdoms to Jesus. All Jesus has to do is bow to the devil. It's the easy button, so to speak. Bypass all the chaos, all the suffering, all the confusion. Bypass this formative part of doing the work. Bypass the frustration and the pain and the hiding and the exhaustion. I think this is where most of us falter on a regular basis. Because really, who wants to do the hard things of life? I mean, who hears sickness or poverty or mental illness and says, "Sure, sign me up for that. I'm up for the challenge." We all want the easy way to do things. We all want to go through life with as little suffering and as little pain as possible. So we turn, or we bend, or we all out bow to the things that we know are not the way God wants them. It'd be too much work to stand up to the hard stuff. But still, Jesus resists that devil's temptation. "Shoo, fly, don't bother me. Go away, Satan. For it's written, worship the Lord your God, serve only him." Jesus knows who really has the power, who will be with him through every bump and every bruise of his life, who will give him strength when he's exhausted. Jesus knows who will use the suffering to produce perseverance. Perseverance to produce character, character that fuels hope. And that hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That's a quote from Romans 5, a little earlier than what we read today. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. And that hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured to us through the Holy Spirit given to us. See, I think that's the thing that we forget when we have temptations of our own. That we've been given God's Holy Spirit to set our hearts in the concrete of God's love. It was a gift given to you in your baptism when water was poured over your head and God promised to free you from sin and death. And you've already aligned yourself with God's kingdom. In our baptism, and then today as we welcome new members, we have three questions that we ask. It's called our profession of faith. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? Do you renounce the ways of this world that rebel against God? Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you away from God? We turn away from the same things that Jesus turned away from that day. We turn away from the selfishness, from the worry of how we look in society, and from trying to have power in our lives. We've already turned away from those things. And it's God's Spirit within us that gives us the strength to keep turning away. And we do it through the love of God that's poured out to us in that Holy Spirit. We have been nourished by God so that we can better face those temptations that come to us day after day. That's what it means to live by more than bread alone. That's what it is to trust God. So, dear siblings, whatever you face, you do not face it alone. Put your trust in God. Remember to wash your hands. Amen.